All right. Well, can you guess what the message is this morning? Anybody got an idea what we're going to talk about this morning? You guys are quiet. You can speak. Anybody got a tongue? All right, I'm going to talk about inviting someone. You know, they say the number one thing people fear the most is public speaking. You know, if I sit here and say, okay, it's your turn, get up here, you're going to go, I think as Christians, if it's not number one, it's probably number two, inviting somebody to church. All right? You know, it's just, there's just something about inviting someone to church that's uncomfortable. And so I'm beginning this message this morning because I want to talk about, we're going to talk about inviting your one. I'm going to be encouraging you starting today and running through Easter for Easter to be a high attendance day for our church. All right? And for that to happen, guess what? You're going to need to invite somebody. And so not only am I going to ask you to make, to start getting a picture in your mind of who you want to invite, but to sign a commitment.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you to sign a commitment to say, yeah. So I'm going to be talking, I'll give you some time, but I want you to think about it. We know what God has asked us to do. They have this passage of scripture that we've given a great big title to. Anybody know the title to this scripture? It goes like this. It is called the Great Commission. Anybody know that? The Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. And it's there in your bulletin, just in case you didn't remember it. All right? It goes like this. Therefore, because you are a child of God, that's the therefore. That's what therefore means. Because you know Jesus Christ, because of your relationship with God, go. Now I want you to circle that word. We're going to come back to that word. Go. It didn't say sit. Anybody comfortable? It says go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. He says, go. Now, I want to make sure you get a picture. That word go in Greek means go. All right? And in Greek, what it means is this. As you are going in your daily activity, you're going about your daily business, as you're going about your daily chores, your daily errands, as you're going about, tell the story. Invite someone, share the good news of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? That's really the picture he's painting here. As you go, these are Jesus talking. This is what Jesus is talking. But when we think about inviting someone, now I'm going to be honest, even me, you know, I've been working on this message for several months now. You need to know that. And I've been working on who to invite and how I'm going to do. And it's like, well, anybody ever get a little scared? You get a little nervous? You get a little worried? Maybe there's some fear? Maybe there's worry of rejection? Anybody, you know, you think about inviting someone to church and it's kind of like, you know? But as I thought about the message this morning, I realized, you know what? We just finished a study called Goliath Must Fall, and two things fell, fear and rejection. So you know what? I gave you guys a head start. You already slayed those two, okay? You don't have to worry about fear and rejection anymore. You slayed that. He fell. Jesus defeated him, right? Isn't that what our study said? You know, and so he's fell already. He's been defeated. And I like this passage here. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I showed you a great video here. Didn't you like the music and everything? And, you know, got a kick out of the video. Well, I got a video for every week now until Easter, okay? So you're going to see a different video every week before Easter. And it deals with this. Fear and timidity. Matter of fact, one of them is how not to invite, okay? You know, we're going to have some fun with this. How not to invite. Because when we go ask somebody, I know you won't go to church, but will you go to church with me? Doesn't that sound nice? I know you're not interested, but why don't you join me in church? You know, we have this fear and timidity, but we don't. God said he's not giving us that. Isn't that what the scripture says? So I kind of want to challenge us, and so I put this little first section here. I entitled this, There's No Fear in God. There's no fear in God. Listen, we did this in our 40-day study, that spiritual growth. We said this, you are loved by God. Didn't we say that? Every one of us is loved by God. We don't have to earn it, you know. Just so you know, I'm not going to get crowns, you know, stars in my crown because I invite more people than you. Well, I invited more people than you, so I should get a bigger reward, right? Preacher, I should get a bigger reward, right? It doesn't work that way, all right? That's not how God works. We're all loved. We don't earn it. Well, if I invite more people, God's going to love me more. No. We are loved by God, plain and simple. God loves us. I don't need to earn his approval. I already got God's approval. Did you know that? Yeah. I always think about, we go to buy hamburger. Anybody go buy meat? I have to buy hamburger. You guys might buy steak, okay, hamburger. All right. You know, I want that USDA approved, right? Don't you want that? When I worked at Butcher Boys in Riverside, California, when I was going to college, they bought meat from Australia. All right? But it was still USDA approved. Even though they brought, I wanted to make extra money just trying to survive, and so I'd stay late at work and grease 2 tons of pallets of food. They'd have 2 tons of meat on a pallet, and I'd restack 3 and 4 pallets of wheat every night to make extra money so it thawed out. It was so frozen. But we want to be approved. I'm going to tell you, you're already approved by God. You know, I had to go get a stamp, and just everybody lined up, and I'll just put an approval stamp on your forehead. You might find out that somebody, I probably get the one that said 666. I don't know. You know, but we all want to be approved. We all prove it, but God's already approved us. We're already approved by God. I don't need the approval of others. You know, I've got God's approval. You know, I share this all the time. You know, the reality is some people like you and some people don't. Let me tell you this. I like you, all right? You already got my approval, all right? But that's part of who we are. Here's what God says. I love this passage. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful, gracious, and I like this next part, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's God for us. God's saying, listen, I know you're going to mess up, and I'm not going to get angry with you. Anybody ever get angry? Anybody have kids? Isn't it easy? You know, I'm never angry with my kids, right? You know, my kids are always perfect and innocent. You know, kids push your buttons. You know, they tweak you. You know, and we're just like kids to God. But he's saying, you know what? I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have grace. I'm going to love you. And it's a steadfast, unmovable, abounding love. Doesn't that sound nice? So when I'm talking about inviting, I'm not saying, well, you got to go invite her. God's not going to love you. No, God loves you. All right? But you don't have to worry about if they approve you or not. It doesn't matter what they say about you. You already got God's approval. And that's what's. And the second thing I put down here is you're empowered by God. When you go to invite somebody, you're empowered by God. You're not on your own. It's not, well, I wish you well. Good luck. You know, let's go see how this goes. You know, now some of, you know, me, I'm a risk taker. I don't, you know, I'll just throw it out there. Others are not as risky as some. But it doesn't matter. It's not on us. It's not on how much I know, on my abilities, on my knowledge, on my skills. You know, I look back on how God has moved and worked life, and it's like, I am sure, and some of you have been here with me, have I changed over the last 34 years? You know, have I grown up a little bit, you know, besides just the gray hair, all right? You know, I think I've become different. I'm not going to say better or worse. I'll be honest. Some things have become better, and some things have become worse, all right? I'll admit that. You know, but God empowers us, the skills, the abilities, the talents, the knowledge. I sat back and like I was talking to you the other day, you know, I would cut school. I hated school. You go to school to graduate, then you go get a job, you get married, and you move on. That's life. That's what I was taught as life. And school was just an endurance, you know. It didn't matter. But then all of a sudden, God changed things in my life. 17 years old, I accept Christ. Now guess what? I can't explain it, but I like school. I like reading. I hated reading. I can only remember reading three books. One in elementary school, Black Beauty, the book called Black Beauty. Red Badge of Courage in high school, and Of Mice and Men in high school. That's all I ever remember reading in school. I hated it. But God changed all that. Can God change us? Can God give us a heart that's different than when we start? And we need to, God empowers us. God equips us. When we're going to invite somebody, it's not like, well, I wish you well. I'll catch me when you get back. I'll see you when you come back and give me a report. When you go out, God's going out with you. Isn't that what that said earlier in that Great Commission? I'll be with you. Listen to this verse. Oh, let me kind of paint a picture here. Jesus died on a cross. Anybody familiar with the story? Anybody got the story? Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Anybody familiar? We got this coming up pretty quick, right? 3 days later, he raises from the grave. Spends 40, 50 days preaching and teaching, getting ready to ascend into heaven. And as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, he tells his disciples this, that you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. You're going to be my inviters, okay? Can I say it that way? You're going to be my inviters in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you what you need to be my inviters, to be my witnesses, to tell people about me. Now, just to kind of paint the picture of what happens here, Jesus ascends into heaven. We're going to come back to this story in a few minutes. Jesus ascends into heaven. The disciples go back to Jerusalem, and they hang around in Jerusalem. Turn to Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes down and empowers them. Peter gets up in prison. People get saved. I mean, just a few. I think it was only 3,000 people that day. I think there was just a few that got saved that day when Peter preached. And God begins to work. He empowered them. And something happened. I want to tell you something. God wants to empower you to make a difference. Here's my greatest passion. You hear me say this as your pastor. And I say, the thing I look forward to most to being in heaven. This is the thing I look forward to most. My giant plush mansion. No. All right. I don't know what I'm going to end up with. I might end up with a shack on the corner, all right? I think of the Beverly Hillbillies, not the mansion in town. I'm back in Tennessee where the oil is, I don't know. But what I dream about the most is somebody walking up. I don't even know. I have no idea that God used me in some way. And they came up and said, you know what? You made a difference in my life. And I'm here because you did, you said, you were, da 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 da. I don't know what it's going to be. Yeah. Next week, I get to do prayer over here at Little League. I don't know if that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. Yeah. I've had these opportunities. And I look at that, to me, that's the greatest reward, is to know that somebody is in heaven because of the opportunity God gave me. Not because I did anything. I think that's part of the problem, and we're going to talk about it. I didn't do it. God did it. But I want us to see that. And I want you to get a picture here that God wants. Let me tell you some statistics here. 47% of people are willing to have a conversation with you about going to church. Did you know that? 7% of people are willing to have a conversation with you. That's converse, okay? I put another number here. 31% are willing to listen to you. They're willing to hear you. They might not have a conversation with you, but they're willing to listen and respond to you. You get 80, that means nearly 80% of people are willing for you to invite them to church. Think about that. But here's the scary part. 21% of church people will invite somebody to church in a year. 21%. Let's say there's 70 of you here. I don't know. I didn't get a count. I should have asked the ushers. They could have flipped me a number and I would know. Well, I'm just going to say there's 70 of you here. That means 14 of you, and only 14 of you, will invite somebody to church in a year. Does that sound good? 14. Well, wait. I'm one, so I'll take me out. So that leaves 13 of you. Because I guarantee you I'm going to. So that, you know, I think that's a challenge. Think about that. Nearly 9 in 10 people will respond to an invitation to church, and we don't do it. What does that say? Man, it really got quiet in here now. I could hear a pin drop. I'm glad we got carpet. Yeah. I just want to challenge us. And put it this way, it's just a simple invitation. It's not an elaborate thing. I've done all sorts of conferences in this church. We've done all sorts of teachings in this church. We did evangelism explosion in this church with its two key questions. You might know the key questions for evangelism explosion. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you would go to heaven? Question number two was, when you get there and you stand before God and he asks you, why should I let you in? What are you going to tell him? We did evangelism explosion. Was there two questions, you know? And then we did lay evangelism. And it's just go, and you had this whole plan, and they got all sorts of plans out there. But we don't need a plan. What we need is just a simple invitation. It's just a simple invitation. There's a lot. They're in this. I think it's really, I got three of them here I just wanted to share with you. One of them is a guy named Philip. Now, you know, Philip becomes a disciple, okay? Philip had heard Jesus teach. Philip had heard Jesus preach. And had an encounter with Jesus, all right? And so in the midst of that encounter, here's what happened. Philip went to look for Nathanael. Now, just to give you a little hint, Philip ends up becoming a disciple. Guess who else becomes a disciple? Nathanael. Anybody know a Nathanael around here? You know? And Nathanael becomes a disciple. We found the very person Moses, the prophets, wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. He said, all he's saying is, look what I found. He's not beating him up with a big, I got to have all this. I found something special. I found something that meets my needs. I found something that's touched my life. I found something that has meaning to me. I found something that makes a difference. I found that. That's Philip and Nathanael, two disciples. There's another disciple, Andrew, all right? Look at Andrew here. One of the two men who followed Jesus after they heard John speaking about him. What happened is John sits there and baptizes Jesus and says, he's going to be the leader. He's going to be the future. And so Andrew had seen all this. Andrew was Andrew. Simon Peter, his brother. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and say to him, we have found the Messiah. All right? Just a simple, look what I found. I've discovered this. You know what I've discovered? There's a nice church in Salida. Did you know that? You know, got a nice facility, has a great program for children with Awana. They're going to do vacation Bible school. They want to minister in the community. They have block party. You know, I found a great place that can meet your spiritual needs. They got an awesome preacher. You know, come on. You know what I mean? You know, what have we found? The story I love the most, though, is the story of the woman at the well. Jesus' disciples are traveling. They're traveling from up by the Nazareth area, heading back down towards Jerusalem. They don't go around Samaria. Samaria was the hated people of the Israels, of the people. They did not like them. They were not their friends or their fans. And so they would always literally go around, but Jesus and his disciples went straight through. And as they're going through Samaria, Jesus says, hey, I'm tired. I'm going to sit here. You guys go into town, get some things arranged, come back, and let's get some food. Let's take care of things. And so they go on to town, and Jesus sits by the well. All right, and one of the ladies in town comes out to get water. And Jesus is thirsty. It's hot. It's the desert. He's thirsty. And so he asks the lady for water. And they have this conversation about water. You know, I'm the living water. You can read the story if you want. It's there in Jesus' encounters. And it boils down to Jesus talking to her, and all of a sudden she realizes who she's talking to. And here's what it says. And the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. Why don't you circle everyone? Everyone. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? I like that. Could he possibly be? Philip says, we found him. Andrew says, we found him. She's going, I'm not sure. I don't have any answers yet. He's answered some of this. Could this be? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Simple invitation. No elaborate buildup, no magical words. Come and see. Just a simple invite. You can put those in your blanks right there. Come and see. It'll be on the screen and you can see it. Come and see. Just come and see. Just check it out. I'm not sure. It helped me. It's blessed me. I found something there. Just come and see. See, she went and just shared. Come and see. And then look what happens. They all, just so you know, they all stream up there. They all go hear this. Jesus preaches, teaches, lives are changed. And look how what they said about the woman. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Did she convince him of anything? Was she persuasive? Was she dragging them? She just gave a simple invitation, and who did the work? Jesus did. Jesus did all the work. She just said, come and see. They went and seen, and Jesus is empowered. Jesus moved in their midst, and lives were changed that day. And God moved. And I want to make sure you get the picture. We just say, come and see. And then God works. God moves. God stirs hearts. God stirs lives. And God makes a difference. I like what they say there. They're going, listen, we believe now, not just because of what you said, but because we've seen it. We've seen it. I'm a believer today. I'm here today because my cousin came on a Monday night and invited me to church when I didn't want to go to church. All right? They had, back then, just so you know, back then churches had Monday night visitation. Anybody familiar with old-time church stuff? Yeah. You know, Monday night was visitation night. Y'all met at the church. You'd hang around the church. And then you'd get in your cars and you'd go visit people. All right? And so my aunt and my cousins and a few others, I think it was about five or six that night, came to my house and said, Gary, do you want to go to church? You know how it got started? I wanted to go on we were selling things at school to go see the Modesto A's. So I went to my uncle's house to get him to buy something that afternoon. You know, and so probably it was my fault they were there because they said, oh, we can go invite Gary. You know, that they came and invited me. We don't do Monday night visitation anymore. You know, I don't know if we should do that again. I don't know. It's something to get people motivated. You know, we used to have a great time in the church. I got involved. I got saved, got busy. My brother-in-law got busy. You know, he was already in the church. He's my brother-in-law now. And we had cars. And so we'd meet for Monday night visitation. And we had it all figured out. We would have 11 to 12 teenagers going out on Monday night visitation. And we'd go see our friends. I had a Mustang. We'd probably like eight kids in this Mustang. You know, Laura would sit in the middle. You had to have a pillow on the thing, you know. And then there'd be somebody, you know, we barely had seatbelts in the cars back then, guys. Come on! You know, and then there'd be three lined up in the back seat and one sitting across this way and one sitting across this way, you know. And we'd go out knocking. Who are we going to go see tonight? We'd just get in the car. We didn't know who we were going to. Somebody pop, I got a friend. Let's go see this friend. I got this friend. We'd make three or four visits, and then we'd go to Thrifty's Ice Cream. Anybody? All right. You know, the old Southgate, shopping center had swing sets and slides in the middle of the shopping center back then. You know, they all just like a school playground. And so we'd go over to Thrifty's Ice Cream. We'd buy a bunch of ice creams. And we'd go over to the swings. And we'd be, here's these teenagers. I mean, you're talking, and we're swinging on the swings and going down the slides. And then we'd pack up and go home. You know, I'd go drop the kids off at their houses and go home. You know? And we had a great time as teenagers going on a Monday night vacation. We don't do that. But you know what? You have to have a scheduled program to do it. What did that verse say? Go. Go when? Oh, as you go. It doesn't need a special day to go. As you go. As you're out on your errands. As you're out in your business. As you're out filling your car up with gas. As you're out. I've seen people all over. You know, I've invited people to, I'm walking around Lowe's. I've invited people to church while I'm walking around Costco. Anybody? Yeah. They're buying food. Hey, I haven't seen you in church in a while. See, if I see you walking around, you haven't been here, I'll talk to you. Yeah. We need, just as we go, and we need to be inviting, you know, and God does the work. But I want to put this down here. Here's one of the things I put here. Count conversations, not conversions. I think one of the fears we have is, well, what happens if they say no? What happens if they don't come? Yeah. Has anybody ever had them say, I'll see you Sunday, and they don't show up? Yeah. I think we all have, right? Yeah. What's important is not the conversion, not that they didn't come. What's important is how many conversations did we have? How many conversations did we have? Years ago, the statistic was you had to invite somebody 13 times to get them to come once. That was the statistic. It took you 13 times to invite that person to get them to come once. So when you invite this time, just say, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to 13 times, okay? Get it all out one time. Yeah. But I want to challenge that. You know, don't worry about what they're going to say. Don't worry about how they respond. Don't worry about what they do. Just a simple conversion. Easter's coming around. It's on April 1st. April Fool's Day is Easter. My message is, don't be a fool, all right? And I put the title down there thinking about this. Did you know Disney wrote Jiminy Cricket had about 16 don't be a fool things? Don't be a fool with electricity, and don't be a fool. We might see some of those clips in the sermon, okay? You know, or at least meme song, all right? You know? But we just need to step in and invite. So here's what it is. You got a month now? You know? You got a month before Easter. So, you know, if it's going to take 13 times, I got to do it, you know, four times a week. That's it. It's that simple. You know, and just invite and be there. Just that real simple invocation and not worrying about their response. And, you know, hey, I'll pick you up for church. That makes it kind of hard if you're in front of their house like this guy. Honk, honk, you know, hey. You know, I'll sit with you. I'll meet you in the parking lot. I'll take you out for lunch after church. You know, you got kids and they got kids. Hey, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt at my house. My Easter egg hunt is on Saturday because my mother-in-law and all of them want to have an Easter egg hunt. And they know I'm in church here, they're in church there, and so we do all that stuff on the grandkids. Yeah, so everybody can get there. Yeah. But hey, take them out for, I'm trying to think. You need to know, I'm going to talk about it in a little while. I already got my target. Doesn't you like the way I said that? I already got my name picked out. And it's like, am I going to take them out for lunch? I got to talk to Laura about that. You know, we got to see if we're going to go out for lunch Easter. You know, I don't know. But simply inviting, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. But I started that beginning, that Acts story, before Jesus ascended. Remember, he died on the cross, buried in the grave, rose from the grave. He's talking to his disciples 40, 50 days later. And he's telling them, you know, hey, I want you to be these witnesses. I'm going to give you the power to do it. And as he's talking to them, as he wraps up his conversation, Jesus ascends into heaven. I want you to see what happens. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I want you to think about that. Why do we stand gazing into heaven? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for to invite our loved ones first? Our friends? What are we waiting for to invite our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers? What are we waiting for to invite? Why do we stand gate? You know, we gather, you know, God, we gather and worship on Sunday and have a wonderful time praising God's name and singing His glory and sharing His word. You know? He's coming back someday. Yeah. We go to maybe if we're lucky, maybe if you're fortunate, you join a buddy group. Maybe you get involved in a ministry. Maybe you get on the internet. I was floored this week. I was doing some research for the message, and I just can't believe how Christians attack one another. I attack other preachers. I was reading these articles, and this guy's just crucifying this other preacher. And I have this rule for me. I'm not going to talk about another preacher. You know, if you're preaching, you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, go for it, all right? There's some preachers I enjoy, and there's some I don't. I'll be honest with you. There's some guys I wouldn't walk across the street to sit in their church, okay? You know, I'm going to be honest, you know? But if they're preaching Jesus, I think it takes all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. And even Jesus, remember his disciples one time? His disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, we stopped these guys over here. They're not with us. And so we stopped them. And what did Jesus tell them? Don't stop them. That we get involved in these debates about God and theology and doctrine. And I think the only doctrine that matters is, are you saved through the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you reached a point in your life where you said something along the lines of, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. Have you crossed that invisible line? That's the theology I want to rest on. Does that sound okay? Yeah, we can argue about all that other stuff. I always like the talks would argue how many angels dance on the head of a pin. You know, that doesn't matter. You know, as long as they're here in my midst, that's all I care about. But we need to be inviting. We need to be out there, and we stand gazing. And I want to challenge us in the next 4 weeks not to stand gazing. But what I found is we have a health issue. I'm going to call it, I put a name to this, you can see it in your outline, it's going to be called the Moses Malady. All right? We have something that's not right. There's a sickness that we've seemed to encounter. Even though God loves us, even though God has empowered us, we seem to have a Moses Malady. And so here's what I want us to look at here as you deal with Moses. We are sick with an inferiority complex. All right? We're sick with it. Who, me? You want me to invite somebody to church? No, you don't mean me. You know, you mean, you know, the pastor. We pay him to do that, right? You know, that's what the pastor's job, you know. That's the Awana leader's job. That's the children's leader's job. That's somebody. You don't mean me. Not me. That's not me. That's not who I am. You know, I know you don't mean me. Isn't that what Moses said? Look at, we have this inferiority. Look at what Moses said. But Moses, God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? How about if I word it this way? Who am I to go to my neighbor and invite him to church? And God said, why don't you circle God said? I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God in the mountain. I like that. He said, you might feel inferior, but when you go out there, they are going to come with you. 80% of the people will come with you when you invite them to church. Ha! He's already telling them, you're going to be successful. That we have, do we have an inferiority complex? Who, me? That's not me. That's not my gift. That's not who I am. How about this next one? We are sick with a perfection problem. We're sick with a perfection problem. Don't know enough. They're going to ask me a question I can't answer. They're going to ask me about the soteriology of the eschatology of Jesus, and I don't know. Now, I studied that when I was in school. I know what soteriology means, salvation. I know eschatology means the last days, but that's all I know. I couldn't tell you anymore what all that stuff was. I did that 20 years ago. Well, no, 40 years ago. All right? That we want to be perfect. We want to have all the answers. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Yeah. Now, I'll give people a bad time. Gary, do you know this? I go, yeah, I already know it. Tell me what I already know. And I always joke about that. But I don't know. You know, I still got a lot to learn. This is what Moses said here. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, see, somebody asked me a question. Excuse me. What is your name? Then what shall I tell them? God said, circle that again. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to them. I am has sent me. We don't have to have all the answers to invite somebody. I don't know. Let's go ask my pastor. And I'll probably say, I don't know either, but let's look it up. All right? Yeah. That's why I love the computer. I got the Bible on the computer. I can Google and search, and I can find answers. That we have this Moses malady of perfection. I'm health issue. How about the next one I put down here? We are sick with the success syndrome. What if I invite them and they don't come? I'm inferior. I don't have all the answers. And they're not going to listen. They're not going to come. I'm not going to be successful. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, did not appear to you? Anybody? You're not a very good Christian. You don't act like a Christian. What do you invite me to church? Anybody ever feel like that? Then the Lord said to them, oh, why don't you think of the Lord said? Is that the same as God? God said, now the Lord said. What is in your hand? A staff, he replied. And you know, if you're familiar with the story, God uses a staff as a symbol of his presence. And God moves there in that. So there's some of us that have the issue of being successful. And what count conversations? Not convictions or conversions or attendance. Just count the conversations. And the last one I put down here is we are sick with an equipment issue. I don't have all I need. That's not my gift. That's not my skill. I'm an introvert. Gary, my pastor, is an over-the-top extrovert. That's him. I'm an introvert. Yeah. Does that work? Listen to Moses again. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant. I can just see Moses. And it's like, God, I know I'm being a pain. I can see God going, yeah, you're being a pain. Pardon your servant. Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since I have spoken to your servant, since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. God, I don't know what to say. God, I get tongue-tied. Lord said, why don't you circle Lord said again? Man, isn't it funny? The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? I love that. You can't talk, well, who gave you that mouth? You know, God is amazing. Who makes the deaf? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? We get into these habits. And so I think, does anybody here have one of these diseases? You know, anybody, you know, you get this little malady of just feeling inferior. You know, not me. That's not me. You know, success. You know, equipment, you know, it's just not me. Well, I want to challenge us, and I want to challenge you. You know, so I put it this way. Does anybody have, I got me, anybody got the M&Ms? The Moses malady. You know, so I got a package of M&Ms here. My wife said don't eat them. They're Halloween. I might give them to a kid. They might. Yeah, I'll find out if they're good or not. But we get the M&Ms. You know, we got 4 weeks now, and I'm going to ask you, when we get closer, how many got the M&Ms? You're going to get the Moses malady, all right? It's like, I can't do it. I'm not equipped. I'm not going to be successful. I'm not perfect. I can't. I want to challenge you to invite one. Just one. To invite just one to our Easter service. And so I put it this way. Who's your one? Invite your one. Who's your one? God has just asked us to go. Back to our verse where we started, that great commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. and surely I am with you to the very end of it. I want you to know something. I got a prescription for your malady. It's called the Lord. Did you notice that? Every disease that Moses had, what was the answer? God. Imperfect? God. Inferior? God. Not perfect? God. Not successful? God. Not equipped? God. Is God the answer? I can tell you, it's real easy. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's the answer. Whatever the question is, Jesus is the answer. Does that sound okay? I want to challenge us. What are we going to do? And so I put this on your screen. It says this. What am I waiting for? What are you waiting for? Now, you can fill that in yourself, okay? What are you waiting for? Inferior, perfection, success, equipment, no time, too busy, not my gift. I don't know. What do you, don't know anybody. That's one I'll hear. I hear that one. If you don't know anybody, there's a bigger problem than that, okay? All right? What it should be in there is this word. This is the word that should be in that line. What are you waiting for? Nothing. Nothing. I want to challenge us in the next 4 weeks. Who's your one? Who is your one? Just one. And here's the scripture I want you to keep with you this next month. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. All right? But I'm going to make it easy for you. The ushers are going to come in a minute. They're going to give everyone in here a card. I told you I was going to ask for you to make a commitment. And everyone's going to get one of these cards when the ushers come in. Here they come. And I want you to take this card. And I'm not going to ask you to fill it out now. All right. Matter of fact, don't fill it out now. Listen to me. Do not fill it out now. Just take the card. All right. So go ahead and give everyone in the church one of these cards. Would you guys do that for me? Everyone gets a card. Kids, teenagers, everyone. Are you an everyone? Any kids here? Even the little ones over here. Every kid, every child gets a card. Everyone gets a card. Don't sign it yet. Don't put a name in it yet. All right? So you see the front. Invite your one. And it says, I am inviting. I already got, you need to know, I was praying this, and we're going to talk about that. I already got picked out. Gives you some ideas to pray for that person, and then you sign it. All right? And so, in the next 4 weeks, I'm going to ask you to do that. But what I want you to do this week is turn the card over. All right? What I want you to do this week is turn the card over. And on the back of that card, it says this, prayer guide for inviting your one. All right? So what I do this week is to take this card and stick it to a mirror. Tape it to the front of your TV, right in the middle. No, you might put it on the side. I don't know. Put it on your refrigerator. I'll probably, I don't know. Here's what I'm thinking about. I heard some of you say you enjoyed my text messages I was sending out, right? I heard some people really enjoying that. You know what? I might send you a picture of this. So when you get your phone out, it's like, there it is. How can you stick it to the face of your phone so you see it every week? But I want you praying these things this week. That's all. I want you to pray. Pray for God whom to invite. I've been doing that. Just so you know, I was praying of who do I invite? Because I knew this was coming. See, I had a head start on you guys. And I'd been praying. And so one Thursday night, I'm standing in the back and somebody walks in. And it's like, oh, you're it, girl. She don't know it yet, all right? But God says, this is the one. And so I've got mine picked out. Now, I'm praying these things for her right now. I haven't started yet either and haven't filled it out. But you pray. Pray for yourself that grace would motivate your invitation. Your love for God would overflow love for others. You would be bold, wise, loving, and respectful. I liked all those. Those words are there with an intent. Be respectful. Yeah. Pray for your one, that God would prepare their hearts. Pray. If you figure that name out today or tomorrow, start praying for them to be receptive to your invitation. You know, God can change their schedule. Well, I'm going to have something scheduled. You know, God can change people's schedules. All right? They would be receptive to the gospel. Nothing would hinder their coming. God would speak powerfully to them when they come. They would continue to attend while God works in their heart. And then pray for the church. We would be united in our response to this endeavor. Pray that we have a oneness on this. You know, I'm sure some of you are sitting there, I ain't going to do this. You're crazy, Gary. Pray for a oneness on this. And God would create an invitational culture among us. So I take this. Don't tape the front to the thing. Tape the back so you're reading the front. It might sit on your dining room table or your kitchen table where you sit there and sit and drink your coffee. You know, if you can put it in your packet with your phone, because I know you pick up your phone and check your text messages. You know, but put it somewhere you read it. And then next week, bring it with you. But if you're like most, you're going to forget it. So I'll have extras, okay? That's not going to let you out. If you forget it, you will not get off the hook, all right? All right? And we're going to, you know, and so, and again, if you don't, if you haven't, if you've been praying and nobody, God hasn't laid anybody on your heart this week, that's okay. Pray for next week until that God lays that person on your heart. And then you fill it out and you start praying this. And then I'm going to be sending you guys emails and stuff. And then if you look on the bulletin board back there, there's a little thing there that says invite your one. And we're going to staple these to the bulletin board. All right? And so, I don't know who does and doesn't. Whoa! Man, this is a commitment, folks. Man, he's turning the screws. You guys got your steel-toed shoes on this morning? I'm here. You know what? Here's the thing, folks. People are dying and going to hell for the lack of our invite. You know that? My dad's sick, and I this morning I realized I have not. I've prayed for my dad every once in a while. I haven't been consistent praying for my dad, to be honest with you. I'm probably even less consistent praying for my sister. She drives me batty. Who wants to pray for her? You know. But this morning I realized, you know what? I need to really pray for my sister. You know, I have. But it dawned on me because I'm thinking about this. You know, I might even add another. I might even invite myself. I might invite two. I don't know about you guys. I may invite two. I don't know. You know, it's like, sis, come on down. I invited my half-sister, and she's never showed up yet, so I'm not going to give up. I want you just to pray about this. And I want you to be willing to step out. Because it does. I love Salida. I love our community, but it's the people. And they need Jesus Christ. Every church in Salida is just they're like us. They're all about this size. But you know what? It took 12 disciples to win 3,000 people the first day. That's it. We can change Salida. We can change your family. We can change your neighborhood. We can change your friends. It's just a simple invitation. So will you go and invite? I'm going to leave it there. Will you go and invite? So put this somewhere where you see it. Like I say, you have your coffee on your mirror when you're shaving or combing your hair. You know. Stick it to the car. But stick it somewhere where it reminds you. And so this week, start praying. And seeing who God lays on your heart. Like I said, I was surprised with me. It just, I never would have picked, I would have never, it wasn't even in my realm of thinking. I was just praying, God, who? You know, I got neighbor over here that Laura and I talk to all the time. Is that the one, God? And then all of a sudden it's just smack, slap, Gary, wake up. All right, God, I got it. I'm a slow learner. Anybody else? So invite your one. We're going to have a good time with this. It's not going to be every message we talk about. I'm going to have a video every week at the end of the service. So plan on being here at the end. We're going to have a video and just have some fun with this. But it is serious business. It is the life and souls of people. And you can make a difference in somebody's life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for the privilege of serving you, of being a child of the King. I thank you that through an invitation of my cousins, through a simple invite, it changed my life. I thank you for their willingness and their courage to come by and ask a 17-year-old to go to church. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, do you want me to pray for you as you pick your one? You want me to pray for you as God has laid a name on your heart? Would you shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these that want to hear from you. They want a name of someone. They may already have a thought in their mind, Lord, that you've already laid on their heart. It might be a loved one. It might be a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a fellow student. I don't know. So, Lord, encourage them and strengthen them as they pray for this individual. And I pray for this individual, Lord, that they'll have a receptive heart, that schedules can change, that doors would be open, that a response would be positive. Give them wisdom. Give them care, compassion, and respect as they extend the invitation. Lord, we're just simply going to say, come and see. Come and see a risen Savior. Come and see Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. In the name of Jesus.